Albayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid al-Azhar, Bilmo.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man tabi'a huda, thumma ma ba'd. Inshallah, my dear brothers, tonight we'll speak about some of the ahkam, the Islamic rulings regarding Eid, the conditions of Eid, Salat al-Eid, the Sunan of Eid, the wajibat, bithillahi ta'ala. And first of all, my dear brothers, Eid, the word Eid, it means comes from the word يعني يعود عادة يعود, which is something يعني شيء يتكرر, something it reoccurs. That's why عيد it reoccurs every year. So that's where the word came from, because صلاة العيد, which is صلاة العيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى, reoccurs, or they both reoccur every year. And as we know, my dear brothers, as Muslims we only have three أعياد, as the scholars have said. Eid al-Fitr, what's the second one, my dear brothers? Eid al-Adha, is there a third one? Friday. But obviously, some groups take the Eid of the Friday as the actual Eid, where they yani celebrate and all this. Friday, the Eid of Friday means because the Salat al-Jum'ah, it reoccurs yani. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that we celebrate. Rather, the Eid that we celebrate is the two Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And the ruling of Eid, my dear brothers, the ruling of Eid, the Salat al-Eid, it is wajib, but, and obviously this is ijma', the scholars have said, as Ibn Hazm said, that the scholars have all agreed that Eid is part of our religion, and it's something that's known, and something that was practiced by the Prophet ﷺ and the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Tayyib. The difference now amongst the scholars is Salatul Eid Fardu Kifaya or Fardu Ayn. For the ones who don't know what the difference between Fardu Ayn is Fardu Kifaya, I'll translate Fardu Ayn, ma kana talabu al-sha'ri lahu min kulli mukallafin bidhat. Whatever Fardu Ayn is that when it's the Sharia, it singles you out to do something. For example, the five salawat, it's wajib on every single Muslim to perform the five daily prayers. Ramadan, for example, it's a wajib on every Muslim who is capable to pray, to fast the Ramadan. So that's fard ayn. Fard ayn, that it's upon every single person to perform. As for fard kifaya, as the scholars said, مَا كَانَ الْقَزْدُ مُجَرَّدُ فِعْلِهِ وَالْإِتْيَانِ بِهِ فَهُوَ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةٍ إذا فعله من يحصل به المقصود وكفى عن غيره. فرض كفاية, it's a lot different. فرض كفاية, it's not about the person doing it, rather it's about the action. If the action was to take place and was to be performed by someone or a group of people, then it's not wajib upon the rest of the people. For example, Salat al-Janaiz, the Janaiz prayers, the funeral prayers, is upon every Muslim in the community to pray upon someone when they pass away. It's not wajib, but it's wajib upon a handful of people to pray upon this person. So if these handful of people, or this group of people, pray on this individual, khalas. The rest of the people, they're not asked about this taklif, about this worship. So now we say, is Salat al-Eid fardu kifaya or fardu ayn? The Madhab al-Hanabila, they've said that the Salat al-Eid is Fard Kifaya. And their dalil is, the evidence is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only made obligatory five daily prayers. And these are the Fardu Ayn. Anything besides these is Fard Kifaya. But the other opinion, which is the opinion of the Madhab itself, another opinion, and also the Madhab of Abu Hanifa and Shaykh Hussain ibn Taymiyyah ibn al-Qayyim as well, they said it's Fardu Ayn. And they have strong dalil, they have strong evidence. Their first evidence is the hadith of Ummu Atiyya radiallahu anha qalat, umirna an nukhrij al-huyyad yawm al-aydain wa dhawat al-khudur fayashhadna al-jama'at al-muslimin wa da'watahum wa ya'tazilu al-huyyad an musallahun qalat imra'atun ya Rasulullah ihdana laysa laha jilbabun qal tulbisha أو لتلبسها صاحبتها من جلبابها. والخضور التي أو التي لا يبرزن عند الرجال. أو translate. The scholars said that this hadith of Umm Atiyah, she was ordered, that she says that she was ordered by the Prophet ﷺ to witness the Salat al-Eid. And also, she was ordered to bring along with her the women who have their period. طيب. The one who doesn't have a period, my dear brothers. First of all, the sisters in general, the females, are they ordered to come pray in the masajid? That's one. The one who has a period, does she come pray? طيب. So the scholars said, by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling this woman to come and witness the salat, and bring the one who have the period, come and bring them to the musalla as well, to witness the salat, it shows that it is wajib. Yeah, if it's wajib upon them to come and witness. So how about the men? Understand, brothers? Understand how they understood the dalil? And also, another way, or another reason why they said it's wajib. We know that if Salat al-Eid was on a Friday, we have a choice either by praying the Jum'ah or praying the what? Salat al-Eid. So, Salat al-Eid and Salat al-Jum'ah, if they both collide, you can pick one of them, because they're both fard ayn. But if we said that Salat al-Eid is fard kifaya, can a fard kifaya overcome a fard ayn? You can't. So that's why, wallahu a'lam, as Sheikh bin Uthaymeen and Sheikh bin Baz and Ibn al-Qayyim and Sheikh al-Islam, they said that it is what? Fard ayn. And these are the Sheikh of the Mashaykh. So, inshallah, and they're Hanabil as well, inshallah. So we follow that opinion with Allah Ta'ala. Tayyib. And we speak about its conditions. The conditions of Salat al-Eid, it's similar to the conditions of Salat al-Jum'ah. So for example, the conditions of Salat al-Jum'ah are four. From them, Dukhul al-Waqt. And the first condition of Salat al-Eid is to pray on its time. Who knows when the time of Eid is? Does anyone have a clue? Sorry? Duha time, ahsan. Duha time, when the sun has risen about 10 or 15 minutes off the ground. The sun is beginning to rise, it's left the horizon, that's the time. That's the first. Second condition is the adad, the number of people. And according to the Madhab Hanabila, I said, like Salat al-Jum'ah, if there's not 40 people, 40 men, to pray the Salat al-Jum'ah, then there's no Jum'ah, you pray Dhuhr. So they said likewise for Eid as well. But the right opinion, Wallahu A'lam, according to Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, is that three. So there has to be more than three people, and alhamdulillah, that's no drama. MashaAllah. The third, as some of the scholars have said, is for the two khutbah. The khutbah. But Wallahu A'lam, the khutbah is a condition for Salat al-Jum'ah. It's a condition for Salat al-Jum'ah, and it's not a condition for Salat al-Eid. So if you pray the Salat al-Eid and not listen to the khutbah, then you have prayed Salat al-Eid. Understand, Shabab? As for Jum'ah, if you don't hear the khutbah and you come to pray Salat al-Jum'ah, you have no Salat al-Jum'ah. You have to pray Dhuhr. But as for Salat al-Eid, if you're to pray the two rak'at, and then go off for an emergency, for example, then it's okay. But a person should listen to the khutbah. The fourth condition is, my dear brothers, al-istitan. For the person to be muqim. How can I say muqim, Shaykh Ali? Resident. Zakhlaha. A resident. So for the person that's traveling, it's not a condition upon him to witness the Salat al-Eid. But for the person who is living, inshallah, when we perform the Salat al-Eid, for the resident, he has to attend. And وَتُسَنُّ بِالسَّحْرَى. It's a sunnah for the Salat al-Eid to be established in an open space, in a park, somewhere where it's open. And this is wherever. here or any other country, it is sunnah for the Salat al-Eid to be taking place in an open area. Is there an exception? There's two exceptions. If it's raining, it's prayed in the masjid. Another exception where? In Mecca, in the Kaaba, the masjid, Masjid al-Haram. We don't leave Masjid al-Haram to go pray somewhere else. Hatta in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't pray Salat al-Eid in the Masjid al-Nabawi. He'll pray somewhere else, he'll pray in an open area. But as for the Qibla al-Muslimin, Bayt al-Haram, the Kaaba, we pray there. But as for anywhere else, we pray in an open area. Taba'an, if it's not raining, then we pray in the masjid. وَيُكْرَهُ أَتَنَفُّلُ قَبْلَهَا وَبَعْدَهَا قَبْلَ مُفَارَقَةِ الْمُصَلَّةِ It is disliked, my dear brother and sister, for a person that when he reaches the place of prayer, to pray any prayer. When you attend the musalla, my dear brother, the place, and when we say musalla, I don't mean the masjid. A musalla, it's in Arabic, that musalla ism makan is salat. Musalla is the place of prayer. So when you reach the place where we're going to pray, you don't go pray any nawafil prayer, as some people we see him doing. As soon as you get there, you sit down, and you try to busy yourself with the takbirat, or reading Quran, or doing dhikr. Because as was mentioned by Ibn Abbas, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى يوم الفطر ركعتين لم يصلي قبلها ولا بعدها. Ibn Abbas narrated that the Prophet when he went to pray, when he attended the Eid al-Fitr, he did not pray any sunnah before it or any sunnah after it. But when you go back home and you wish to pray, you're allowed to do that. But as for the place, then you shouldn't pray as it's makruh. Naam. And we said, وَوَقْتُهَا كَصَلَاتِ الدُّحَى It's time. It's in a duha time. And from the sunnah nazoo, my dear brothers, وَسُنَّ تَبْكِيرِ الْمَأْمُومِ وَتَأَخْرُ الْإِمَامِ عَلَى وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ It's a sunnah for the ones who are going to pray to come as early as they can. Ibn Umar used to pray the Fajr in Medina, in the mosque, the Masjid al-Nabawi, and straight away come to the place where they're going to do the Eid Salat. But as for the Imam, it's better for him to delay it. And as scholars have said, the reason why they delay it, to give the people time to pay the fitr if they haven't paid it. So for the sunnah of the ones who are praying, to come as early as they can. And for the imam, to come later. طيب. And obviously, the scholars have said that the one who prays Fajr and then comes to the place of Salat al-Eid has the same reward of someone that stays in the mosque and waits for the two salat. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ تُصَلِّي عَلَى أَحَدِكُمْ مَا دَامَ فِي الْمُصَلَّى الَّذِي صَلَّى فِيهِ تَقُولْ اللَّهُمْ اغْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُمْ ارْحَمْهُ The Prophet ﷺ said that the person, the angels, make istighfar and ask Allah to have blessings on him and rahmah for the person who stays in the mosque waiting for the other salat. So the scholars have said, likewise for the person who comes, who leaves the Salat al-Fajr, finishes and goes to Salat al-Eid, has that same reward. Alhamdulillah. And also, from the other sunan, أن يذهب لصلاة العيد ماشيا إن تيسر إلا مع العذر. If a person is able to walk to the Salat al-Eid, if he's able to walk to the Salat al-Eid, then this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And obviously these days, the places that we pray, they're a lot further from our houses. But if you're able to park the car somewhere and walk the distance, this is a great reward. If you're not able to catch the whole sunnah, at least get a bit of it. As they say, مَا لَيُدْرَكْ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكْ جُلُّهُ Whatever, if you're not able to perform all the sunnah or any ibadah, then try your best to perform at least a bit of it. وقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج إلى العيد ماشيا ويرجع ماشيا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would walk to Salat al-Eid and would come back Salat al-Eid. And Ali رضي الله عنه said, من السنة أن تخرج إلى العيد ماشيا وأن تأكل شيئا قبل أن تخرج. Ali رضي الله عنه said, from the Sunnah of Eid is for you to walk to Salat al-Eid and to have something small, which is like tamar, before you go, something small. Also, from the sunan of Eid, my dear brothers, أن يتزين ويلبس أحسن الثياب. From the Sunan, my dear brothers, is for the person to wear his best clothing. His best clothing. Obviously with dawabit, obviously with some principles, we'll mention a few of them. But for you, my dear brother, to wear your best clothing. As long as that clothing for the men doesn't show the awrah, it doesn't have any forms of ta'zeem of the kuffar, it doesn't have anything that glorifies the religion of the kuffar. وَلَا يَكُونْ لِبَاسْ شُهْرَةِ. Does anyone know what that term is, لِبَاسْ شُهْرَةِ? لِبَاسْ شُهْرَةِ, I want to try to translate it. It is the dress, it is to dress in a certain way to oppose the people of the custom of that people. لِبَاسْ شُهْرَةِ, or yeah, it's to dress in a way where you're different from other people or to go against the custom of that people. For example, the scholars gave an example. What is لِبَاسْ شُهْرَةِ? For example, if I was to ask, do you know Muhammad? I say, who's Muhammad? He'll tell you, oh, the guy that wears this and that. So this person was known by what? A certain clothes. So because he was known by certain clothes, which is different from the other people, that becomes haram. Because if he was to wear something that was normal, he won't be known by that. Yeah, for example, if someone walks around, I always give this example, if someone was to walk around always with army clothes, or he's walking around always with something gharib, right? This is called libas al-shuhra, and it's not allowed. And obviously for the woman, there's nothing wrong with them buying new clothes and something dear. But obviously, it has to cover their awra. It can't be tight, it has to be loose. It can't be, it can't be bright, catchy, that's what I'm trying to say. Catchy. It can't have strong fragrance, and of course it has to, she can't dress like the kuffar, the kafirat, the non-Muslims. وقال ابن قدامة وهذا يدل على أن التجمل عندهم في هذه المواضع كان مشهورا. Ibn Qudama says that by the Sahaba, they used to always wear, and the Madiba, the Sahaba were very simple people, they weren't rich people, رضي الله عنهم. When it came to Ramadan, they would wear their best clothes. So Ibn Qudama says that by them wearing their best of clothes in these times shows that they used to have concern for that time. From the Sunnah as well, my dear brothers, is Al-Ghusl Yawm Al-Eid. Al-Ghusl Yawm Al-Eid. From the Sunnah, my dear brothers as well, that a person should do ghusl before he leaves. And this is a dabit that we should always take, my dear brothers. The scholars have said, any salat that has a gathering, it's preferred always to do ghusl. Like what? Salat al-Jum'ah, Salat al-Kusuf, Salat al-Istisqa, and Salat al-Eid. Yani, for example, when we want to pray to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rain upon us, Salat al-Jum'ah, Salat al-Eid, it's preferred to do ghusl there. Why? Because you're going to be around a lot of people. So it's always better to be pleasant and to look pleasant. وابن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه كان يغتسل يوم الفطر قبل أن يغدو إلى المصلى. From the Sunnah, and Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, he would do ghusl before he would leave early to pray salat al-Eid. السابع الاشتغال بالتكبير إلى المصلى العيد ويرفع صوته به. From the Sunnah, my dear brothers, as well, is for the person that when he leaves his house, he begins the takbir, the takbirat. We know the takbirat we say in the time of Salat al-Eid. وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنه إذا غدا إلى المصلى يوم العيد كبر فرفع صوته بالتكبير. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, if he left his musalla, left his place, left the musalla, he would begin with takbir until he reached. Also, my dear brothers, from the Sunnah, الخروج بالنساء والصبيان ليشهدوا الخير ودعوة المسلمين مع الحرص على تستر النساء. As we mentioned before, from the Sunnah as well, for us to bring the whole family, the wives, our sons, our daughters, for them to witness the da'wah of the Muslims, so they can be part of the da'wah of the Muslims, and for them to witness the khair. And also, it's because it's a sharia, it's a sha'ira of our deen. It's a symbol of Islam, and it shows what strength when all the Muslims are together and taking part in this great ibadah, it's a great symbol. And as we know, the Salatul Eid, my dear brothers, is rak'atayn, with seven takbirat in the beginning, with the takbirat al-ihram, obviously, and the five takbirat in the second rak'ah. Taib. Does anyone have questions, my dear brothers, regarding the Salatul Eid? Anything? There was one thing I want to speak about. It's been said, before we finish, وَلَا بَأْسْ بِقَوْلِ لِغَيْرِهِ تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. There's nothing wrong, the scholars have said, there's nothing wrong by saying to the person after Ramadan, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ, may Allah subhanahu accept from me and you. And Imam Ahmad said regarding this, that there's nothing wrong with saying it. Also, Imam Malik said the same thing. And Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, وَأَمَّا الْإِبْتِدَاءُ بِالتَّهْنِئَةِ فَلَيْسَ سُنَّةً مَأْمُورًا بِهَا. Saying it, there's nothing, saying it, it's not a sunnah, but rather there's nothing wrong with it. وَلَا هُوَ أَيْضًا مِمَّا نَهَا عَنْهُ. And it's not forbidden to do so as well. So by saying تَقَبَّلَ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ in Ramadan, after Ramadan, there's nothing wrong with it, inshaAllah. And replying to it, there's nothing wrong with it, inshaAllah. طيب, I believe that's time, inshaAllah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, nashhadu la ilaha illa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Support the spreading of beneficial knowledge. Donate to Al Bayan Radio today. Account name Al Bayan. Westpac BSB 032361. Account number 394419. Wa jazakumullahu khayran.